So here we are, folks. It's episode 48 of the Silver Stumps podcast. So now, Grant, this week we're going to have to be on our very best behaviour, aren't we? Because we have a very special guest who's going to, you know, we've got to be careful what we say here now. And what we so who have we got on the show this week, Grant?
Well, Trev, this week we have, as you say, a special chap and a lovely man. He's chairman of the National 60s and 70s Cricket Championship. Please welcome to the Silver Stumps podcast, Mr. David Murphy.
Good afternoon, guys.
Welcome, Murph.
Hi, Grant. Hi, Trevor.
Are you wintering well?
No, if I'm totally honest. I went on a trip to Dubai. I went with a virus, came back with an infection, and I'm still trying to shake it, and that's about 14 weeks. It's been horrendous. But apart from that, I'm okay.
I'm sorry to hear that. What a terrible first question that was for
well,
me.
Well, I was going to say, I listened with interest at Paolo's 2 weeks ago, and of course, there's me thinking, I really have got to start doing something. And as soon as I start doing any exercise, I'm afraid my breathing just goes.
Oh dear,
I'm struggling again. So,
you've got to shake that off, buddy. Before before you can embark on those park runs.
Yes, I'll join you.
So let's go back to Kidderminster, beginning of December, 2024. The annual general meeting, Dave, and I think that was your handover, wasn't it, from Jeff Beale to take over as chairman. So that's a couple of months now. How are you feeling?
Tired. It's been full on.
Busy.
I'm sure you guys appreciate, like most who actually are closely involved in the county organisations, this is our busiest time. It's easy when the cricket starts, by comparison. This is when it's full on and everything is being sorted. Match balls, England internationals, clearly the fixtures. And, it's been very busy. But, enjoying it. But it's challenging.
Brilliant. I'm pleased to hear that, despite the fact that you've picked up this virus. There was a lot discussed at the meeting. Mm-hmm. And I recall that at its conclusion, you went away with a small group of advisors and senior supporters to really try and put together a new structure and format that would recognise some of the challenges that came out of what happened last year with Phase 2 and the desire to play more cricket in July and August. But, of course, balance that with the increased demands of travelling that placed on everybody. And do you feel that you've come up with something that works for everybody?
We certainly hope so. We're going back to a phase, a group phase, followed by knockout matches. The phase one, phase two, I personally quite enjoyed and thought it worked well, but we listened to the criticisms or those that didn't enjoy it quite so much. And the big factor, as always, is the travelling. Phase two travelling, once counties felt they were out of it in terms of qualifying for the semi-finals, quarterfinals, semi-finals, finals, that's when they were less inclined to want to travel. And we were having to certainly on a few occasions, you know, sort of push counties pretty hard and say, look, guys, it's a national competition. But we listened and we could understand the dead rubbers was the problem. So initially we looked at going, as had been proposed by one of the groups, to go to a four group system, which was fine, except to do that, there'd be two nines. This is obviously all 60s ones I'm talking. 34 counties means two groups of nine and two of eight. For the groups of nine, you actually need 18 weeks. So starting on the 29th of April, you wouldn't finish the group games until the 26th of August. So that would leave you with just a semi-final and a final opportunity for the top one, two and three teams. So that's 12 teams would qualify for semi-finals and final. And the others, that would be the they'd be out of it. So again, we felt the problem there would be you get to the start of August and teams would look at the table and go, do you know what, we've got no chance of ending up in the top three. So the games will be dead and we'll not be travelling, you know, all that way.
No.
So that got kicked into touch. And we then looked at, right, we've got 34 sides. So we opted for four groups of seven and one group of six. And again, it's done totally geographically. We've divided the country up, coloured in our maps, so to speak. And
yeah,
that's where it lands. The four groups are basically north, east, south, southwest, and Midlands. And it's Midlands who get the group of six, which happens to be, of course, my county. But we have the benefit of having two spare weeks. So we can, if we've had some games off, pick up a couple of replays. So we should end up with, if every game was played in the groups of seven, you get 12 games in 14 weeks. We should get 10 in 12 weeks. So that's what we're going with, which means we start on the 29th of April and we play through to the 29th of July. We then have a week off. And after that, we then start the knockout phase where we have, this is the 60th ones. There'll be 16 in the cup. We'll then have eight in the vase and eight in the bowl, all playing on the 12th of August. The following week will be the last eight of the cup. And it will be a reserve week for replays, if needed, for the vase and the bowl.
Okay.
And then we have, on the 26th, the semi-finals, cup, vase and bowl. And then the 2nd of September, cup, vase, bowl, finals. And then there's a reserve date for cup, vase, bowl, finals on the 9th of September.
Okay. Just 2 points to clarify then, Dave, on that. The last 16, can we just clarify that will be the top three in each of the five groups, and then what, the best fourth place team?
Bottom, yep, that's exactly what we've got.
Okay, and then you mentioned in the bowl there would be eight teams in that knockout game, but presumably 10 will qualify, so there'll be some sort of prelim game between four of the teams to sort that out, will there?
Yep. And it'll be the four finishing in seventh place in the groups of four.
Yep.
So seventh, north, east, south, and southwest will play off on the 5th of August.
Okay.
And two of those teams will then go into the bowl. Two will have probably had enough if they've had such a season.
They will. And they'll be, if they're finished bottom after a bowl knockout.
Yeah, they'll be less.
I think that's cricketing's way of saying, put your whites away, come back next season.
Our understanding, Dave, is that in the over 60s second 11 competition, it's a similar thing, the 29th of April, July the 29th. But you're going for a Champions League style table, I think, aren't you now, with 31 teams?
Again, it's a matrix is what we call it, but Champions League, that's how it works. But 31 counties, again, it's awkward numbers. So it'll be 12 matches per county over 14 weeks, of which they'll play some home and away, and some, they won't. They'll play just one-offs. But that's just the way it is. But it gets them the number of games. And again, we start on the 29th of April, finish on the 29th of July. So we're consistent with first and seconds playing on the same dates. We have a rest week on the 5th of August before we go. Again, we pick up with the twos. Last 16 in the cup again, top eight, the next eight in the vase, and then the next seven will play in the bowl, of which the best of those seven will get a bye. So six will play, one will get a bye through to the semi-finals, and that'll be then, as before, cup, vase, bowl on the 26th of August, semi-finals, 2nd of September will be the finals, again, all as the first teams. and the 9th reserve dates.
So, Dave, on that champion, because that's a change for the second 11 on the Champions League or the Matrix, whatever you want to call it. So just to confirm that the a bit like the 70s first 11, all teams will be in a single league table, and that will be decided in order of average points. Is that right?
It'll be, yeah, absolutely average points, and there'll be, of the 31 sides, the top 16 go in the cup. Next 8 bars, next 7 bowls.
And all the fixtures are being done on a kind of regional basis, as though they were
as
groups.
As tight as we can, yeah.
But they're not groups, that's right, isn't it? Yeah.
But it's groups, albeit that you don't play everyone twice to get to it, because of the odd number, the 31. If we got one more, 32 counties, it would be easy.
Well, what I find interesting about the I'm going to keep calling it the Champions League stuff.
Yeah, go on.
You know, you could be in like 17th position with a week to go, and then you'll be looking at Cheshire's results, even though you're Devon maybe or something. And
I know.
And that could
it's
make
really
a difference.
Exciting. Yeah. I mean, we're actually recording this on the eve. It's the Wednesday of the Champions League final evening. So, like, your Aston Villa. At the minute, you're just outside the top 8, like just outside the top 16. But if you win, you hop in and you push someone down. I think that'll be quite exciting as the last couple of weeks. Everybody will have something to play for,
and
which is what you want, Mr.
That
German.
Is exactly the point, that even if you're, you know, finishing in 31st place, you are still going into the bowl in the knockout. So you are extending your games through to at least the 12th of August.
Was there any discussion about extending that to the first 11, that Champions League style matrix?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And we took...
Oh, great question, Trev.
We took over a week and it just would not work. We kept getting to the last week of the fixtures and it just all fell apart.
Okay.
And Derek and I were burning the midnight oil. And again, I must give a shout out to all the organisers of all the competitions who've all had input into the fixtures. But Derek, who not only our website wizard, but he's also our fixtures creator and coordinator. And along with another guy, actually, who deserves a mention, that's Tony Fitzgerald, who is Oxfordshire. And he's the scorer who was on the recent England-Aussies tour, and I just happened to meet him at a Warwickshire do, and he said, "Oh, well, I'll have a go at the fixtures for you." And so he had a pop at it, and he came back with a template for the group of 4-7-1-6, and Derek and I were able to tweak that a bit just on the geography, and but he again, very grateful for anyone that volunteers rather than press men and all that, but no, definitely Derek has been, again, absolutely amazing getting all these fixtures done. How he makes the Champions League matrix work, I can only tip my hat to him.
Right.
Our second 11 were hoping for a trip to Real Madrid when they heard it was Champions League style. But in Division 3, that's the same. I think it's the same structure in Division 4 as last year, Dave, isn't it? There's a couple of new teams, but pretty much the same structure, I think, and the same dates and all that, really, in a sense.
The 63rd start on the 6th of May, and they play for 13 weeks. So they finish on the 29th of July, and it'll be 12 matches per county over 13 weeks. And then, again, it goes to the Cup, will be the teams finishing 1-8. The VARs will be 9-19 because there's no bowl in that. It's just the VARs. Yep. But the 9-13 get the bye, and 14-19 will play off.
Okay.
And then again, those dates are the 12th of August, and then we get to the quarterfinals 19th, semis 26th, finals on the 2nd.
One little spot I did, I see there's been a rebrand of the Wales teams, according to the fixtures, that Wales thirds are now known as Wales A and Wales fourths Wales B. Is that a rebrand, or is that just a typo on the...
Nothing to be read into that. The Wales side, and you know the way it works, they have a thirds and a fourths.
Yeah.
Fourths... the fourth league is just too far away. It's around the home counties.
Yeah.
So they play in that division in the thirds, but once they've played for one of the two sides, that's it. They can go up into the seconds, but they can't play for the other. So it probably is better to be A and B. Otherwise, some might feel a little bit put out.
Yeah.
But A and B works just as well. And if they play for the A, they can't play for the B, but they can go up into the twos and the ones.
Fantastic. And then Division 4, Dave, looks as though it's identical to last year, the same seven teams. But overall, you must be pleased that, according to my notes, have you got four new teams this year? Dorset in the first, Northants in the seconds, and Norfolk and Leicester in the thirds?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, which is encouraging. It would be, again, we've got another couple of counties that we're trying to encourage, because it would be so much easier if we had 32 in the seconds and 36 in the firsts, because it just makes it work so much easier and you're playing every week. But I think we've got a decent schedule. And it's worth perhaps pointing out, and you may have seen it on the new website now, the 2025 full playing schedule.
Yep, it's out there, isn't it?
For everyone.
So
we can see now what the dates are and who's playing and where.
Dave, we'll talk about the 70s in a minute, but just going back to that first week in August, so that's going to be blank for everybody except a couple of teams playing off in the prelims. So is that because it gives people a chance to organise the knockout rounds? What's the plan for that first week?
Again, another of the criticisms we had last time was counties can't second guess who they're going to be playing and where. And that was obviously with the phase two scenario. However, it works just as much of a problem if you're trying to work out if you're going to be the home team or the away team and you're trying to get a ground a week. For some counties, just isn't enough. So we initially were thinking, right, well, we'll have that week so that it gives Derek and myself and the other organisers that chance to make sure we've got all the results in and we know who's playing who and who's at home and where we can do something with the travelling and you know, as we've done before. But what we've actually then decided, and again, this is a bit of an exclusive.
Listen up, listeners. Exclusive coming your way.
we are thinking, and it's only at that stage at the moment because we need to know what sort of interest there might be. But from the recent Aussies trip that the 60s made, they were interested to hear that the Australians actually play 40s, 50s, 55s, 60s, 65s and 70s as international sides. And they have tournaments for their state sides that they play in 1 week. So Paul Bradley has proposed, this is Paul Bradley, the England manager, has put to the committee, can we consider putting these fixtures together for a cricket week for a 65s competition, which would be eight teams consisting of four counties representing, you know, each of those, with obviously one being a fifth added to one of the groups. And it would be played over that week of the Sunday through to the Friday, with three games for everyone in the against each other before then the finalists would be the winner of group one plays winner of group two, second of one plays second in two, and we'd have a playoff for first, second, third, fourth, down to eighth. But it would also mean that would give someone like Paul an opportunity of seeing players that he's got in his 60s ones at the moment, but are now 65, 66, still playing competitive cricket leading up to the 70s international sides. And if it works for the Aussies, we would want it to work for us. If it's strengthening their overall ability. The Aussies want to come over here and play a 65 international. No reason why we shouldn't, you know, give it every chance.
Fantastic. It reminds me a little bit, Dave, of like the old-fashioned cricket festival that you would have occasionally, often associated with younger men. Now we've got a middle-aged version, giving people something to look forward to and keep them active for longer.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, we would play, you know, everyone plays on the Sunday, I think it works out. And then there'd be four play on a Monday, four Tuesday, four Wednesday, four Thursday. And that way, some will play two back-to-back and then have a day off. Some may even go play one, miss one, play one, miss one. But it's all about, I think as well, when you play with players from the other counties, that builds, you know, those relationships for when you're actually playing against each other as well.
Very much so.
You can have
very good.
You can have very competitive games against each other, but it's, you know, when you actually play then with someone in a representative side, there's just an acknowledgement sometimes, I think, that, you know, you take with you then into further games.
So just for clarification, Dave, yeah. So listeners have got this right in terms
really good point.
Of what you said. So you're saying that four counties will get together to provide one team, and that's how you'll get your eight teams. So, for example, just in my part of the world, I know this isn't decided yet, but that could be, for example, Cornwall, Devon, Dorset, and Somerset getting together to provide one team for that tournament. Is that's what we're saying?
What you do as those four teams, because we do have regional groups anyway, albeit that they're not totally structured like that. Those four counties would be told that, right, we want nominations from your four counties to put a select side together. So, A, they'd have to be available and want to do it. And then they'd obviously be the players that you think as a county are appropriate to recommend.
Would you consider delegating that to someone within those four counties to say, right, get us a team organised rather than bring it all in centrally and have hundreds of people wanting to play?
I think we'd have to delegate in the first instance because, again, those groups know their players.
Exactly.
And I think that's key. It may well be that we said, right, the four captains, the four current captains of those groups have a Zoom meeting, discuss who they believe are the you know, who's the best wicketkeeper, or two wicketkeepers. Maybe that players can only play a couple of the games. They can't play all of them. Mm. But it just means that everyone is having almost like a 65s trial in a competitive situation with a chance of, you know, building relationships as well. But at the end of the day, it's going to benefit the England 70s and, you know, putting a 65s out there as well.
I think it's a cracking
idea.
Cracking idea.
Hope it comes off, Dave. Bit more work for you.
Well, it is. I'm leaning heavily on Paul because he's pushing this one. But right, well. I'm like yourselves. I think it's got a lot of possibilities. And if we don't have the enthusiasm to do it, then fine. But if we do, I think it could be a lovely cricket week with a, you know, even a dinner at the end of it and, you know, celebrate, you know, the success of seniors cricket.
Because I think I might have mentioned this to Grant at the end of the season, because after the end of the season, we didn't know what to do with ourselves. So I've got the notes here now. I thought, what about a T20 sort of long weekend tournament? Four teams, north, south, east and west, central location. Everybody turns up for 3 days and you play, you know, T20, two matches a day and, you know, all the sort of things you're talking about, camaraderie, getting people together, having a lot of fun.
So, absolutely. Anyway. And I think if you've already thought of it all, Trevor, we'd love to have you on board.
That's the only downside, isn't it? If you get an idea, you've got to deliver it. So let's not forget the 70s in 2025. Yeah. So we've got one new team in the first 11, Dave, Cornwall. It looks like everything else is identical to 2024 in terms of structure, and the second 11, five teams as usual. And then a new third 11 competition with Hertfordshire, Essex, Kent and Surrey. Third 11 70s. What are they?
I know.
That's incredible,
isn't
it? They're
playing each other. And you think, okay, they're having a bit of time off. They're playing 12 matches and playing each other four times. So they do get rest weeks, but that rest week is actually, as you're probably aware, the East Anglian veteran ladies play friendlies currently against those sides. So we've tried to still accommodate them so that we're again, have a mind that the ladies game needs to be developed. Yeah. And at the moment, there is just the East Anglian veteran ladies, but it's got to be another way forward for them still continuing to play, and then perhaps we can get more ladies counties wanting to play seniors cricket.
Well, my spreadsheet, Dave, suggests that including the combined Lynx ride-ins and Staffordshire Derby teams, Derbyshire teams in the 70s first 11, we've got, in 2025, 126 teams taking part, seven of which will be from Essex, Hertfordshire, Kent and Surrey. But it's amazing, isn't it? 126 teams playing most weeks. Flipping heck.
Yeah. And like I say, Derek, you know, has all that to do by way of getting all those results in and posting it on the web. So more coffee, I think.
big up to Derek.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Dave, so
just,
that's great stuff.
A couple of things to finish off with, Dave. You've thrown a tremendous amount of information at us today, updated us, given us exclusives. You did mention it kind of like just at the top of the show, but can I bring you back to balls? have you made a decision as a management committee on where we're going to go this year?
Yep. Stonehill, as you know, are in a 3-year deal with the seniors cricket. It does have a break clause, so we can break it. However, there is serious sort of sponsorship money that they give, as well as supply the balls. We have now gone for another or a different cricket ball. It's English leather. It's got a bigger seam and it's got less lacquer, which is all the things the batsmen liked last year, which was that it stayed round, no seam, didn't do anything, didn't swing, and you couldn't get the lacquer off it for love nor money. Well, we're trying to, level it up a bit by a ball that should help the bowlers, but still keeps its shape, and it's costing us a little bit more. We're supplementing as the league in terms of the delivery of the match balls, but we're trying to keep the cost as tight as we can for the counties. But we've got 2,000 balls already on order that we need everyone to pay their, get the balls ordered they want, and then out of the 2,000 we'll distribute, what everyone's ordered, and we'll send the invoices out, and then we can pay them.
Okay, is this coming out to county reps pretty damn quick?
Yeah, it really is. It's on Chris Dennis's list when you see him.
Okay. Chris.
Yeah, he's doing it with
those people who wouldn't know. He's just celebrated his 70th birthday. He's been a bit preoccupied, Trev.
Well, I'll go and give him a little shout out here because he's very excited.
Last been doing YMCA, at his weekend bash.
Chris, back in the day.
So come on, Chris, put those party poppers down and get these balls sorted.
Chris played the odd game for the over 50s first 11 in Cornwall. He got a couple of games when we restarted the 60s, so he's very excited that he could become the first Cornwall player to play first 11 cricket 50s, 60s and 70s. So there we go. What's the brand of ball, Dave? Did you mention that or did I miss that?
It's Stonehill.
Oh, it's still Stonehill, right? Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
It's always you look at all the different cricket balls that everyone sends you and they all look pretty good, but you don't know until you start playing. And so it becomes then a cost exercise as well. And some of the sides, they weren't prepared to pay. Some of the counties were very reluctant to pay over £20 a ball. Some more affluent, I won't name, those who are the more affluent, but they were looking at £27.50 match balls. And I'm thinking, well, when you've got 160 to order, and most clubs, most counties are not sponsored or whatever. Where are you getting all this money from? Mm. So, we've got to be realistic.
You have to make a compromise.
We've got a better one.
You're going to be delivering a superior ball. It's a bit more evenly distributed between batter and bowler.
Yeah.
And you've tried to address the concerns that were raised.
Absolutely. And we can only hope we've made the right decision. We only know, once we start playing with them. They are literally being manufactured at the moment.
Dave, can I just ask on behalf of the 10% of us who are colourblind, and I'm pretty mm-hmm. poor on reds and greens and struggle to see the ball sometimes, as which is always my excuse, of course. Was there any consideration for swapping colours and maybe a pink ball?
There was. There was a proposal to use a pink ball in the 70s, but we'd tried a different ball a few years ago when it was orange, I believe, the 70s used, and no one liked that at all.
Okay.
And we were looking at it, and then there was a report was uncovered that said it makes no difference whatsoever with colorblind, you know, or whatever, the pink and the red. And if anything, the red picks up better off the white screen. It might be better for the spectator, but the red is easier to pick up off the white screen. But it was sort of... Yeah, we did pass it round, this report, and it was quite interesting, but okay. It just concluded no real difference. Yeah. So I'm sorry, it is just your ability, Trevor.
Yeah, I can't really make it.
I told him that, Murph.
I can't really make an excuse when batting, but fielding sideways on sometimes can be a bit tricky. Yeah, but that's the point. Okay, but okay, I'll keep using that as an excuse then.
Yeah.
Oh, great stuff. What else were we going to ask Dave? 59-year-olds, were we going to ask him about if that changed?
Yeah, just to clarify, Dave, there was a tweak on that for the 60s, wasn't there? Do you want to just clarify that for us?
The proposal was that we come in line with the international, which is that you've got to be 60 to play 60s cricket. We had a few years ago, we had 58s and we lost the 58s, but then we had two 59s. We reduced it to 159 last year per side. And the proposal this year was then to stop 59-year-olds playing unless they did play last year. So someone who was perhaps 59 last year in July, which made them eligible to play a couple of months with the cricket, they will be able to play.
Okay.
But a new 59-year-old would have to wait until they were 60. So that way we get the cut-off. Okay. And interestingly, that got voted in and went through. With the 70s, same proposal to reduce the number of 69s, which is currently two, to play in a 70s side. And that didn't get through. So that's the way the vote went. So you can still play if you're 69, up to two per side, which, as a 69-year-old recently, that means I'm looking at...
eligible.
And I had to keep that, I had to let everyone know that...
Of course you did.
I had vested interest,
Dave.
Vested interest, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, that's terrific. Well... Any, have we got any? I haven't got any more questions for Dave. I don't think. Grant, have you?
He's dazzled me. My head's spinning. You've given us some fantastic info there, Dave. And I think what's really interesting for us to hear is the thought process behind the decision making. We can see most of the decisions. All the fixtures are up on the website now, and I notice that all the dates and the second element with the knockout piece has been uploaded. But I think herein the reasons why the fact that you considered alternative proposals, consulted, and ended up making the decisions you did, I think is really important that we get the opportunity to hear that. So really big thanks for coming on Silver Stumps, Murph, to share that. You're going to be a very, very busy boy. You and Derek and all the competition organisers, you have a key man doing all the divisions, don't you? So if anybody's got an issue, they can contact their respective division competition organiser directly if anybody has any queries. But let's hope we get some decent weather. Let's hope we get off to a great start. 127 teams, did you say, Trev?
Well, I was just going to say, Dave, on behalf of the 126 teams that are going to be taking part in 2025, a big, big thank you on behalf of all of them to you and your team for putting on what is going to be an extraordinary amount of seniors cricket. So, hats off to you guys. What a fantastic job you do. And, you know, you should get a big thank you from everybody for doing that. So that's superb.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly very grateful to have inherited a very, very competent committee taken over from Jeff. Interestingly, of course, we only get voted on for 2 years at a time. So those who want to take over, start thinking now and let us know.
I'm sure there must be something in the Constitution, Dave, where you can have a second term of 2 years.
Oh, absolutely, you can, yeah. But it's challenging, and you know, we need some, you know, new blood as well to take it on. But it's going to be busy, and we'll do our best to deliver.
I'm sure you will, Dave. Big thanks again for coming on. Thanks to all our listeners for tuning in, and hope you get a little bit better, shaking off that virus, and you're fighting fit come April, Dave.
I shall see you on that first park run, Grant. So,
cheers for now.
Cheers, Grant. Cheers, Trevor. Thank you, guys.